we're going to have our final reading this morning, and they are words from John chapter 3, John chapter 3. They contain the words that we've handed out to numerous people around the hall. Maybe you've had a card like this through your door. And we're going to, as I say, hear now where they come from, those words in the Bible. We'll begin reading at what is certainly one of the most famous verses in all of the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll read through to verse 21. Let's read God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So read that part of God's word. I want to suggest to you this morning that Christmas is a great revealer of hearts, isn't it? Think of a child enthralled with the new toy that they've had, focused completely on the gift that they're enjoying. Think of the lonely widow alone with her memories. At Christmas, it exposes our greatest loves, our deepest fears. I think that's probably been highlighted even more than usual this year, certainly more than ever in our lifetimes, as we've received instruction from those in authority. Just listen to these words of the chief medical officer from a few weeks ago. Maybe you'll find them familiar. Remember hearing something like this. He said this: I really think people should be prioritising those things, and only those things that really matter to them. Don't mix with the people you don't have to at events that are not among the most important to you. Prioritising those things that really matter, that are the most important to you. Christmas is a revealer of loves and longings, of priorities and passions. Again this year, we've been asked to draw up a short list of the things that really matter to us, to forgo all else, to ensure that we can do what matters most to us. The works party, or lunch with the parents. The carol service, or celebrating with the children. And usually it is a both and kind of thing, isn't it? And yet for many this year, it feels like it's an either or an or. Don't risk what matters most to you for the sake of something that you value less. This year, more than most, Christmas has exposed our hopes, our fears, our loves, our priorities. But I want to suggest that Christmas reveals our priorities every year. The Christmas story that's recorded for us in the Gospels is full of people who are like you and me, who are having to make decisions of what is most important and then acting in accordance with their priorities. Just think for a few moments of the shepherds out on the hills surrounding Bethlehem. What is their chief priority? Well, it is, isn't it, that they're tending their flocks. Their chief priority is for the goats and the sheep in their care, defending them from wild animals, ensuring that they're able to earn a wage that will put food on the table for their families. That is their priority until Luke tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Glorious news. Astounding news. Important news. Delivered not through a press conference, but by a fearful, a mesmerizing angelic messenger. Good news from God. And now, in light of this message, their flocks seem far less of a priority. They abandon their posts, determined to go to Bethlehem to seek this thing that has happened, says Luke, which the Lord has made known to us. And Luke adds, and they went with haste. Of course they went with haste. Something, someone who now mattered more to them. Their priorities turned on their head by the news of the birth, not just of another child in Bethlehem, but the arrival of the promised Saviour, Christ the Lord. Coming to this child now is the thing that matters most, their priority. We don't read of any in the Gospels, any of the shepherds that said, "I'll tell you what, I'll stay. Look, we've got responsibilities here. I'll stay. A wolf may attack. A thief might steal the flock. We may lose our livelihoods." All true, but a new priority for them. Only one suitable response in the light of this news. And that is demonstrated, but again, by the shepherds, by their response to seeing the child. Luke tells us they made known the saying, these shepherds, that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. These shepherds, they're in a rush. But not in a rush to get back, to return to their sheep. They're not careful we don't want to be waylaid. No, these shepherds are a bit like the person who maybe you meet in Tesco or Sainsbury's. And you're in a rush, but they're there to talk. These shepherds, they rush to tell others the news that they've heard. The arrival of the king that they have met. These men belong with their flocks, don't they? They are shepherds. They remain shepherds. They will continue. They will make their way back to the hillside. That's what they'll continue to be employed with. Oh, but friends, their conversation, what it is you'll find them talking about, what occupies them, is Christ the Saviour. The thing that mattered most to them. Men that prioritise those things, and only those things, that really matter to them. Christmas reveals hearts. Whatever your responsibilities, is Christ our priority? We see it too, don't we, in the priorities of those wise magi who travel from the east. There would have been many, maybe hundreds of magi in the east, astronomers, astrologers, who sought to understand the times and what the gods were doing through the movement of the stars and the planets. No doubt there would have been many others who, like these men who travel to see the child, many who had read the prophecies in the Jewish scriptures, in the book of Numbers, in the book of Daniel. The prophecies, the foretellings of the birth of a great Jewish king. A birth that would be signified by the arrival of a new star in the night sky. Many, I suggest, who would be aware and who had all the information that these men had, and yet they stayed, they remained at home in the east. Other things that occupied their minds, other commitments that they had, other priorities. that were theirs. But not for these men. They arrive at the palace, remembering at Herod's palace in Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Matthew later tells us, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Obvious, wasn't it, to all what priorities these men had. They went out of their way to worship the Lord Jesus. They put all of the other opportunities that they had to one side in order that they might fall down and worship this child king. Their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, that they reflect, don't they, what mattered most, what filled their hearts and minds. They didn't make their long journey. They didn't give their precious gifts. Didn't bow down in homage before this child because it fitted in with other plans that they had. Just think, these magi, they would have had to say no, wouldn't they? To lots of people, to colleagues, to family, in order to prioritise giving these gifts, bowing down in worship before the child. No doubt some of their colleagues, maybe family members, were offended at the priority these men had. Other people's, other passions, other projects that had to be laid aside in order to travel, to locate, to bow down and worship before King Jesus. He who mattered most to them. These men, they prioritised those things and only those things that really mattered to them. And clearly that message comes to us, doesn't it, to you and me this morning. At Christmas, as in all of life, we will prioritise the things that matter most to us. All of us, we've only got a limited amount of time, a limited number of people that we can be with. Doing one thing for all of us means that we're not doing something else. Christmas is a revealer of hearts, our comfort, our presents, our toys, our TV, our food, our children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents. All good things to be enjoyed. All vying for our time, vying for our lives, vying for our hearts. But what, I wonder, who is your priority? But we dare not leave it there. You see, wonderfully, our hearts are not the only hearts that are revealed at Christmas. Astoundingly, Christmas reveals God's heart to us. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What was God's priority in sending his Son into the world? You see, God didn't need to send his Son into the world to condemn the world, did he? The world, since our first parents revolted against God, already stood condemned before God. God sent his Son not into a good and lovely world, but into a wicked and warped, self-willed world. A world living without reference to its maker. Living as though our God and maker were dead. This word that the Apostle John uses for condemn, it's also the word that can be translated as judge. Our holy God, he cannot let our sin go unpunished. Our righteous God, he must see, gloriously, he must see justice is done. His character, his name, will not allow wrongdoing to go unpunished. And repeatedly, we saw it in Isaiah chapter 2, God promises that he will come to judge this world, this people in opposition to him. The fearful and awful day of the Lord. And that is what the world is waiting for. That's what the world organized against God deserves. A world of offenders that stand condemned before our God. Caught in the act, awaiting God's judgment. And that day of God coming to judge the world is certain and it is sure. Oh, and can you therefore see how Christmas is the amazing revealing of the heart of the God whom you and I have offended. Justice will be done. Judgment, his judgment, will be carried out on all whose sin condemns us. And yet, at that first Christmas, God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. Friend, that is staggering this morning. The very God whom we've offended, the God who has every right to quickly and with all power and authority carry out judgment upon us rebels. And yet, what is God's priority at Christmas for a world that stands condemned? God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, to judge the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. God's priority, with every right to act in judgment, to preserve the honour of his name, God's priority is to act in mercy, to act in amazing grace, to act at an unimaginable cost to himself, to rescue those who stood condemned. He prioritised those things and only those things that really mattered to him. Christmas isn't the time of saying, well, you know what, God saying judgment doesn't really matter. The guilty can just go free, that we can cut ties with God and there be no consequences. Oh, Christmas is far better than that. Christmas is the revelation of God's heart. His priority to deliver those who are standing on death row by taking on flesh, stepping into our shoes to suffer the punishment that you and I deserve. An example, Christmas is, or an illustration, Christmas is the examiner, isn't it? Coming to fill in the answers on the exam paper prior to the exam day, so that those of us who have lazily failed to study the syllabus, who don't know any of the answers, we can sit the exam, all the answers already filled in, and we can pass with flying colours. Oh, like the shepherds, our priority at Christmas. Oh, friend, it should be to hasten to the child born to save the world from sin. With the Magi, our priority should be to bow down and worship Mary's child as our Lord and God. I wonder whether our priorities today show that that is the beat of our hearts. It'd be easy for us, I think, this morning to feel somewhat self-righteous. After all, we're the ones here in church, aren't we? But friend, if like me, you can honestly say that that is the constant beat of your heart. That actually your Christmas priorities reveal that the Lord Jesus doesn't always come first. That today and every day, you too often just fit Jesus into the other priorities, the things that matter most. Oh, then friends, like me this morning, you will be full of joy and wonder. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, to judge the world at that first Christmas. God's priority before judgment falls on those who stand lost and condemned, God's priority at Christmas, to send his Son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. Isn't that astounding? When judgment is certain, God prioritizes coming to save, coming in mercy, coming in grace. Friend, whatever else you're sacrificing this Christmas so that you can ensure that you're able to do and be with those who matter most, whatever your priorities, the thing that matters most, isn't it, is worshipping the God who at Christmas reveals himself as the Lord, the Lord, who will by no means clear the guilty, and yet a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. A God who in mercy sent his Son into the world in order that the world, that you and I, by looking to him, might be saved through him. Oh, the greatness of the God who works at Christmas. May he today fill our thoughts and minds for his glory. Amen.